The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And you're listening to SupDoc, where we discuss and dissect documentaries chosen by our guests from the worlds of comedy, film, television, and more.
And today, we're recapping Dan Reed's two-part HBO documentary, Leaving Neverland, a harrowing tale of two men coming to terms with being abused as children by their hero, Michael Jackson.
And we should add, allegedly abused. It's part of the complicated story that emerges over this four-hour watch, which is potentially triggering in the graphic descriptions of its subject matter.
But we're here to talk about it in our usual SupDoc recap style, and we welcome your feedback. So leave us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and we'll get right back to you. And who knows, we might even read your comment on the show.
And our guest is comedian Chris Martin, whose television credits include BBC Three shows Euro's Most Amazing Moments, Most Annoying People, and World Cup's Most Shocking Moments. Chris has performed at the Edinburgh Fringe and all over the UK, US, and Australia.
And now, here's our talk with Chris on Leaving Neverland. And we are here in lovely Los Feliz with Chris Martin. How's it going?
Hey, I'm good. I said I walked here, so I'm very happy.
Yeah, it's rare to be able to do that in our town. And visiting on the other end of the line, Mr. Paco Romaine.
Hi. And I moonwalked here, so that's fitting.
I've never figured out how to do that.
I actually can do that.
Oh.
It's like the one dance move I could do, but now I'm like, well, that's out the window.
Yeah, you
can't. Because you can't do any, you can't enjoy any of the...
You and Governor Northam.
Yeah.
He can do it too.
Can he?
Well, he claimed he could, and then his wife was like, no, just don't add to it.
I can do it in socks on a hardwood floor, but I don't know. It's
he should have. What if he had done it and then this came out right away?
Oh.
It's basically like, he's like, okay, so I did blackface and I can moonwalk. Yeah. And yeah.
I love when his wife stops him. She's just like, this is not the right time for that.
This is.
It's good to have a wife that'll stop you from doing stuff, right, Chris?
Oh, mate. She's so good. She nearly stopped me from coming on this podcast actually this morning.
Yeah, it's like a little early on a Saturday for a comedian.
Yeah, I'm surprised
you chose this time.
It's because I have something planned in the afternoon with my wife. So I'm being a very good husband, actually.
Wine country, a hot air balloon ride.
No, we're doing a...
I don't know what married people do.
You that's what you think it always is, but it's often a lot more boring. We're just doing a games afternoon with some other people we know.
Yeah,
not just the two of us. That'd be kind of crazy, just facing each other, playing dicks. It's kind of weird. So having some people over at like 2 o'clock.
Yeah, my girlfriend... tried to get us to do a game night recently too.
Jeez.
Have you done one though? They are good though. I like them.
We did a couples game night with our friends who have a baby, and they had Millennial Monopoly. Have you heard of this?
No, I don't like the sound of it.
It's
where you just get rid of corporations by not using them.
Yeah, no. It's you get experience points, and so that really matters more than the properties you've acquired. Oh. It's basically like likes. They're little like buttons.
Oh no!
And you just like, and you have negative likes and positive likes, and just like you went to the CBD cafe, and then you got put in jail or whatever. It's the same. Milton Bradley, and it's like the same Monopoly guy, the mustache guy, Mr. Moneybags.
Yeah.
But he's got like sunglasses because everyone thinks youth requires sunglasses.
That
whatever, like
weird.
Like since so,
like
Pucci,
an old white guy
since,
thinks
like,
that's what
yeah,
it is. Yeah,
exactly. Since like Snoopy or Joe Cool or whatever, people are like, you know what people like is not burning out their retinas.
Do you get cash or is it all Venmo? You get
it should be cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
gotta update the board again. I mean, millennials are killing board game industry. I guess
the board game. I weirdly know some people out there, and they've invented two board games. Mm-hmm. They actually say it's a really good industry to get. It's actually made a big comeback because it doesn't. There's still a craving. I think even like hipsters and stuff. You want to You can't
physical
really,
boy.
Yeah, it's something about
it's like vinyl, man.
Yeah. It's just, it sounds better.
Look around. Mm-hmm. I'm the wrong one to cast aspersions on the collector of outdated media.
It's great. You just did a bad game. You've blamed a bad game's experience on the game. It's the game, not the.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking as we were talking about it, you could make a board game out of the life of a pop star.
Here we go. Nice
and
segue.
He could be collecting
jail sentences.
You know what? Let's just talk. I guess we probably will do this in the intro, but trigger warnings for everybody.
Yeah,
trigger warnings for the world. This is a lot of stuff we're going to get into in our discussion of Dan Reed's film Leaving Neverland. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Did you want to watch this or did I make you watch it, Chris?
That I weirdly had spoken to someone like just before and they were like, You gotta see it. And then, it's weird that when I knew I was coming on this, I was like, how are we gonna be funny? Because this is assumed normally funny.
We're never funny.
Are you
funny?
Funny?
That's not true.
We're comedians that just decided to throw out the humor part.
Okay.
No, like, I mean, it is hard to, like, I don't think the goal is to make light of child abuse.
Of course.
There's
aspects of it that are,
yeah,
not of the documentary that, it's all going to be done delicately. But yeah, when I was watching it, I was like, this is heavy. And
what
then someone
signed up for. Yeah.
I spoke to someone who hadn't watched it and they were like, that's 4 hours. And I'm like, yeah, but it is the point. He was like, does it have to be 4 hours? I go, the whole point is you have to really feel the thing as close as you can. I mean, obviously, it's not the same, but like, mm-hmm. you really go step by step through it, which is, it's brutal.
It's brutal. Not sponsored by Pepsi anymore. That would have been interesting if Pepsi had sponsored a HBO documentary.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. So as someone who grew up, I don't know how young you have to be to not think Michael Jackson's important. I think if you're maybe 20, you don't really quite get it.
Especially now.
He's just like ambient.
Yeah.
He's sort of just ambiently part of pop culture. What I liked about this film is that, in a way, it's not about Michael Jackson.
Yes.
It's about the experiences of two people who were, in a bad situation as kids.
Yeah, that's what's really good about it, because I was very surprised when it was just the two of them. I thought they'd be, they get the kind of airtime I feel like they deserve in mm-hmm. it, it is weird, though, because I still remember every person that's died and loads of famous people. I still remember where I was when he died.
Yeah.
I was driving back from a show with a comedian in the UK called Lucy Porter. I got a text about it, and I was like, that's crazy. Like, that's how famous he was that by that point, I'm trying to put myself in that space, because it always became a joke, his child molestation, right? It becomes this weird pop culture. Yeah, he's a bit of a weirdo but then, that's crazy that he still had this weird spell on like the public, that you still liked his music and you just sort of, I mean, all that stuff is so, that he just likes sleeping in beds with kids and we all like, everyone just sort of went along with it. He never had a childhood. That was the thing, right?
Yeah.
And you always said that to yourself. And then when you're watching this, you're like, I feel horrible for these people. You kind of also feel like an arsehole yourself for like,
making a joke of it.
Yeah. For not like, just being like, no, like that's not okay. Yeah, so he was the most famous man, most famous person in the world, I'd say.
I think so, yeah. Paco, do you remember where you were when he passed away?
Yeah, I do. I was teaching, oddly enough, teaching kids how to play music. We used to have a summer rock out thing that we started up here in San Francisco. And we were at this like summer program thing that we taught, me and my other bandmates taught kids how to like rock out. And then same thing, we got texts and then we're like, okay, we should listen to some Michael Jackson tunes.
Yeah.
It was also the same day that,
Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett died. Farrah Fawcett. Yeah. So she got thrown out of that. It was like Farrah Fawcett died. Mm-hmm. And 5 minutes later, it's like Michael Jackson died. And people were like, who the fuck is Farrah Fawcett?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just remember being at my office job and then in my AIM window, instant messaging, I got a message from a friend who's just like, do you remember where you were when Michael Jackson died? was it right now? I'm like, yeah, I will always remember that you did that to me.
Yeah.
What a funny way to lead into it.
I still remember watching the moonwalk, like when he unveiled the moonwalk at that.
When was that? Was it on MTV Awards?
Yeah, it was an award show. Okay. And he came out and did like, it was like 10 seconds. He did the moonwalk for like 10 seconds. And
people lost their goddamn minds,
Fucking minds over that shit, man. Everyone the next day at lunch in middle school was trying to like do the moonwalk and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he stole that from someone.
Really?
You know, there's a, I can't remember. I mean, I'm going to do the guy such an injustice, but there, I remember just seeing in my head somewhere on a TV show, there's a, I don't know if he was a musician himself, but in the early 80s, he's a black guy. That's all I remember.
Breakdancer maybe or something?
Might have been, but he's like, if you looked at the invention of the moonwalk on Google now, I'm sure there'd be a guy whose name would be there. And yeah, I mean, I guess Michael Jackson never claimed to invent it. He just did it.
Yeah.
And he's super famous. So everyone's like,
there should be a documentary about that. Just the invention of and theft of the moonwalk.
I think there is. I mean, I think it's Bob Fosse. Who you're talking about?
Oh,
the dancer,
the choreographer.
Yeah, the dancer. Yeah, yeah. Choreographer.
It could well be. Yeah, I've no more. I have an image of a guy in my head. Is about all I have. So yeah, I'm going to trust you on that.
Don't do that. But
that's not the worst thing Michael Jackson did. So.
No, not by a long shot. But I remember watching a documentary on Bob Fosse, and they show him doing like a moonwalk.
Oh, okay.
And Bob Fosse and Michael Jackson, that was like his hero.
Okay.
Kind of thing. Yeah. Anyways.
Who we learned also made the Lenny movie with Dustin Hoffman.
And is also Brett Morgan's favorite film
director. Yeah.
And there, so there we go. Full circle. Jeez, I can't talk. It's too early.
It's very too bad that it's a podcast. Should just be making a YouTube. I can't talk on this YouTube.
I'm just going to be playing Scrabble by myself over here.
Yeah. Okay.
But
so
this document, so what had you known about Leaving Neverland before you watched it? Did you know anything of, like, what was going to happen?
Just my friend said it's just like brutal, and I watched it 2 days after it came out, so I kind of knew that it wasn't going to be, it was going to show him as a child molester basically, but I didn't have any idea how they were going to do it. I didn't even know the guys involved. But all that stuff happened, what was it, 93? I would have been 7 years old myself, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, they must. And then I'm basically the same age as the guy Wade, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2003, again, you see the circus thing on TV, but that's always the thing, isn't it? You just go, oh, he wasn't proven guilty. And you always kind of, that's the thing, everyone wants to cling on to that because mm-hmm. it's easier
legally. OJ wasn't found guilty.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, do you know, I had a really interesting thing, actually, when I was at Comedy and Magic Club a couple of days ago, and I was talking, I just watched.
It's not the Magic Castle, it's something else?
There's Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. Okay. But there was a magician on who coincidentally performs at the Magic Castle a lot, and he said he remembers in 93, he was chatting to a judge who'd watched him at the Magic Castle, and the judge, I don't think it was the judge of the case in 93, but he said the judge, you know, they're all part of the same kind of clique, I guess, he said. There was way more evidence against Michael Jackson in 93, but they were scared to fully go for it because of the riots, and they didn't want another riot. They thought there would be a riot in LA again.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
And that's like, that's, this is through, again, there's any legal ramifications of what I'm saying, but that was
a podcast. But
a magician said it, hearsay of a judge. So, you know, it could be bollocks, but also wouldn't be surprised in there because, but it's mad, isn't it? Because when you're a fan, you so, like, in a very small version of that, I love the movie Taken.
Uh-huh.
To the point where at my wedding, we had action, because my wife also loved Taken, and we met and we started laughing about Taken the first night we met, and all our tables at our wedding were action star themed, and our head table was Liam Neeson. So when Liam Neeson said that stuff the other week,
about how he wanted a black man to beat up.
Exactly. And and it's so easy to just read that quote and go like the guys. But I was trying to find a more nuanced angle on it, partly because in my head I'm like, this guy's a big part of my life. I do think that issue is more, he was trying to make a point in a terrible way. And even some well-known thinkers on racism have come out and actually said what he said. I like the honesty because he's opened up this conversation. Anyway, that's a different thing. But in my head, I wanted to like it, like, you know, defend him because of what he meant to me.
I wanted to defend him because of Darkman, which is the very wrong title for what he said. It's a Sam Raimi movie he did. But yeah, no. Growing up in England, I mean, it's interesting. You're the same age as Wade then. So just think, like, when you were 7, grew up in England, and Michael Jackson, even if you saw, like, Michael Jackson, you would have just been like, yeah, he's like the thing, right? Like, I would go, if he asked me to go with him into a room, I'd bring my mom, I guess. But
yeah, it's, do you know what though? I don't know if this is, it's hard to put myself in that thing because I've never, I'm trying to think when it comes
who would have been the equivalent person.
Yeah, I think it would be like a soccer player because I've always had an Arsenal soccer player, football player as well.
When you were 7, yeah.
Yeah, I used to have like players' names on my back and stuff. So I think that would be it. Because I've always found celeb musicians and movie stars and all that, I've always thought, oh, they're cool. But I've never, like, been obsessed.
Them.
Yeah, I've never, like, cared. Some, but, yeah, if it's someone who's amazing at, like, a sport or something, that would have been... That's the only time as an adult I've ever got, like, weird around someone.
And who are, like, the equivalent scandal might have been, like, is it Jimmy Savile?
Oh, yeah. So I was talking about this the other day. Yeah. So Jimmy Savile. What's really interesting about all of these... horrible child molesters essentially is they're so charming in their own way. So Jimmy Savile, if you just Google Jimmy Savile right now, Paco, you can see him. He looks like a cartoon drawing of a paedophile. You've seen him, right?
Yeah, he looks kind of like a, yeah, he's got like long white hair and yeah.
But interestingly, Louis Theroux, who's a great,
about Louis Theroux on our documentary.
Yeah, he lives just really close.
No
he
way.
He goes to the coffee shop at my road all the time.
Oh man, I'm going to have to go to the coffee shop and be like, and grab him for the show.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Especially he did the Scientology doc.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's great, but he did a Jimmy Savile documentary when Jimmy was alive and he hung out with Jimmy. And you know the way Louis kind of earned someone's trust and then tries to move on to that. And he sort of got on with Jimmy so well, and Jimmy's so charming. And he kind of, at one point in the documentary, kind of asked him about it. And Jimmy kind of acted odd with him about, like, as in, like, batted him off and said, like, how, you know, dare you. And then Louis felt a bit bad about it. And then Louis recently, maybe it was last year, a couple of years ago, he's done a subsequent documentary almost like analyzing how he was in that and how he feels like he was duped by Jimmy. Mm-hmm. But the guy literally, like, for over 30 years molested, like, over 300 people. It's like crazy amount. But he got away with it because he...
Was he a children's entertainer, though?
He was a children's entertainer, and he did loads of magic. He did loads of charity. He did loads of charity runs.
Oh.
Just one of those weird celebs that, like, I vaguely remember. He would never be famous now. He was just, like, a weird dude. Like, he was from the DJ era, so he...
Okay, right.
A lot of DJing and stuff, which was massive back then in the 70s, but... Yeah, it was all the amount. You just can't believe how many times they do it to people and they get away with it. But it is that he was like the police were in on it. Like he had that much power and people, he would have threatened people. Like if you say anything, like your life's over.
Yeah. So did all that stuff come out when he was still alive or come out?
No,
after he died?
When it's literally 2 years after he died.
People were like, now I can really.
Yeah. It was like crazy how many people have come out, like
300.
That might be an exaggeration, but he was technically
3 digits is too much.
Yeah,
one's too much.
Say, but there was like, it's amazing. There's him. Well, there's Gary Glitter was the other one.
Oh yeah, Gary Glitter. Yeah,
but rock amazing. But he kind of got again because he.
But he did it in Thailand, right?
Yeah, he went to
Gary
Cambodia.
Went to Cambodia.
I think he lives. Maybe he's in a prison.
He's still alive.
Yeah, I think he's in a prison.
Okay,
over there.
But he did it in Southeast Asia somewhere.
Yeah, and then his thing again because he was kind of well known, but it's not Michael Jackson was that's that look.
Oh yeah,
it's the
no one knows Gary Glitter compared to Michael Jackson.
The upper echelons of the fame, I think, it does determine how long you can look at Cosby for however long, you know.
It's interesting. Yeah, we are in this reckoning time. I mean, I haven't watched the R. Kelly doc. Have you guys seen the R. Kelly?
No, you know what? I couldn't after. I was like, especially I was my wife yesterday. I was like, do you want to watch that? I was like, I need a break.
Did you watch this with your wife?
I watched it with her. Yeah.
Well, how did she feel about it?
Yeah, it was the same.
My girlfriend wanted to watch this. She's like, let's get the HBO extension on Hulu so we can watch this. I'm like, I'm surprised that you want to. I have to for this show, but you don't have to.
Yeah, I think it was... No, do you know, I was the one that was like, oh, I've got to watch this for this, and I think it'd be interesting, and then we did watch it. But, yeah, you know when they get... I guess what's good about it is it makes it uncomfortable for us as viewers, but the detailed descriptions of what he did are brutal. Like, I mean, yeah, like, most people, I'm sure, cried watching, but like, we were supposed to. But
I feel like with Abducted in Plain Sight, I had to turn it off about like 12 minutes in. I just had to, I got to take a break. I'm just going to start this up another time or maybe never.
Did you watch it after Michael Jackson?
No, I watched that first.
Oh, okay.
So then when I watched this, I definitely like, I was like, Jesus Christ. But I think it's like, okay, when you think about this as in terms of like, it's the story told by the people as opposed to like, often if you see like true crime or something, it's like, done by a third party, just kind of clinically reenacting something or just describing something in the most clinical, technical terms. And what you're really getting here is like all the emotional weight behind everything. And I think the criticism people have been having, there have been people on Twitter saying they were clearly coached or they were actors. Like, they're not like, I wouldn't be able to say it with such a straight face. I'm like, well, yeah, it happened to them when they were like 10 or 7 and now they're like almost 40. So they've been processing it for a long time.
Yeah, no, I thought the way they did it was really important. Because I think it gives you, when you just hear, it's the most in-depth interview with like a survivor of a thing I've ever watched.
Yeah,
I think it's really interesting to see how nuanced it is rather than, you know, because you get these, I went on, how many people on Twitter still think they're liars and they defend Michael Jackson?
So many people on Twitter.
It's insane. The people on Twitter.
What skin do they have in the game to defend him is what I wonder.
It's just people that like, people are fans of people and they just don't, because you think how crazy some fans are. Like I've never been like, people travel the world to see, if you said to them, and that's like their whole life is almost meaningless to find out that the guy is.
Hey, Walt Disney was a Nazi. You know, like you said that, you know? And they like, I still like the characters.
Yeah, but I think people, their life is defined by these celebs, which is not a healthy way, I don't think, to live your life. But, so what were we saying? Oh, yeah, so it's crazy that people think it's, and I'm like, no, I think it's, I thought that was, showed how these guys are so effective at molesting people, like how they get into their heads and stuff. And it was kind of interesting. It was harrowing, but interesting.
Yeah.
See.
Well, I think like the fact that like they, what they kind of do is they like put on the table, look, he was a very talented, unique man who did a lot of good things and also did this.
Yeah.
And I think even just hearing that from Wade Robson, like in the very first couple minutes of the film, it's like, yeah, he really like changed my life in some good ways and also in this terrible way.
Yeah.
So it's like, it can be both things. And I think I think that's like interesting. Like, I think the whole discussion also is about like fandom or like what is our role as consumers? It's almost like, is this now like just like a dolphin safe tuna kind of conversation, you know? Like I don't want to hurt the dolphin, so I'm going to not eat this tuna. Or like, I'm not going to listen to Trapped in the Closet, or I'm not going to listen to Remix to Ignition or Billie Jean. Like, well, you just deciding you're going to plug your ears is not going to make this go away. You know, it's like, what is the responsibility of us as an audience? Because I feel like this sort of came up with like R. Kelly with like Spotify being like, we're going to just take R. Kelly off of all our playlists. And then they like walked it back like a week later because people thought they were being censoring. But I think for it to really, this is like, he's been dead for 10 years. I'm like, what? I'm kind of like, why now? That was what I was thinking at first when I started watching this. Like, why do it now?
I think a lot of people are thinking that.
Why do the documentary now?
Yeah.
But is that not based on the survivors themselves being, because that's the only thing in the documentary they glossed over. I read quite an interesting review of it, and the guy said his main criticism, I kind of see that was, they kind of glossed over. It'd be good if we got a bit more background on, because they put the lawsuit.
Wade,
when was that?
2013 did the lawsuit. Yeah,
and it'd be just interesting to hear his reasoning behind it, right? Because because without that information, I think people have gone, he just went for the money, and he's not got the money. Whereas it'd be interesting to understand his thinking there.
Yeah, like I think that's a criticism I read as well. It's like basically the filmmaker, by not sort of putting some information in there about that or addressing it at least, it leaves it so open to that kind of criticism. Yeah. And he could have just addressed it in a 4-hour documentary. He could have like had, you know, 5 minutes about like, you know, what happened with this lawsuit or whatever. But he didn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't, because what you said, sorry, go back one point, is you said about the consumer's guide, I don't want to listen to Michael Jackson, is some of the results of it. But I think what the thing it's shown, I hope, is that you can't all, innocence or proven guilty is a great philosophy at times, but I think it has to be like, you've got to have shitting on these, you know, survivors or alleged survivors immediately, because you don't want, because uncomfortable for you to accept them is the thing that I hope people start realizing is that shouldn't be the default setting, and it mm-hmm. should be, have a little bit more. And that's been everything, like Me Too and everything recently. Yeah. I feel like people at society's moving towards that.
Listening to survivors and believing survivors.
Yes.
Over, I mean, the Kavanaugh thing was just like so similar in some ways too. Like just hearing the testimony of like Christine Ford, like re-experiencing like this trauma that happened to her when she was young, you know?
Yeah, because you can't, it's very hard to prove all this stuff, right? That's mm-hmm. that's why these guys are so effective with it. But how many people wrongly, how many people wrongly get accused of doing this stuff really in this? Mm-hmm.
A very small percentage.
Yeah, or if it's something that, look, sometimes there's a phase where footballers would get accused of, in the UK, would get accused of raping people. And sometimes it was, now it was found that these, some girls would go back into a room with these footballers and don't they kind of just say it for the money, and then some were, again, it's such a difficult gray area, that stuff, but in these sort of cases, especially with these, it's like people, I think people are so cynical, they're like, well, these people just do it for the money. It's like, but really, is that if Wade Robson come, is that really going to help his career? I don't think it is. It's gonna be horrific.
And I also heard someone say this thing on like another show. It was just like, and is it wrong for someone who was molested to want financial compensation? Like, if you really were molested, why not ask for financial compensation from the guilty parties, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that seems like a legitimate claim as well.
You can't.
Like, so people, you know, they went for the money. Like, if you got molested, would you not want the money?
What? How else, as a grown-up, can you actually be, you can't have your memory erased, you can't go, like, it's kind of what those lawsuits are there for, right? I guess.
Yeah, I think Wade Robson even said, like, the reason he filed the lawsuit was he said, like, well, that's, like, the language that the Jackson estate speaks, right?
Right.
I mean, they bought off a house for James Safechuck, you know, when he was a kid. So, like, it's...
But I think, I think for a most part, a lot of detractors will say that these guys, as adults, had a chance in court in front of a jury and a judge and Michael Jackson to say, he molested me. He raped me. He took advantage of my family and myself, but they didn't do it. They said he's not guilty. He's innocent. He's a loving man. He's an angel. He flies free. Like they had their opportunity. That's what I think gets a lot of people thinking that they're just after some money, which, you know, personally, I get that. That to me has. There is a,
you get that argument.
Yeah, I can understand why people would say you're a grown man and you're still defending this guy. You had your moment and then you wait till he dies and then you come out with your story 10 years later and then now trying to get money from the estate. I mean, if you put it in that kind of timeline without any of the horrific details, because I'm definitely not defending Michael Jackson, it does have this like, you know, a parlor of like these guys are just after some cash, you know.
Right. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Like, if those are the people that didn't watch this, those are the people that are like, I'm not going to watch this because it was proven in a court of law, blah, blah, blah. These guys are retracting, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I see that is why the mentality of some people that are not going to even bother watching this is, I don't think you can watch this and feel like, yeah, they totally made that up. I think you'd have to have like no empathy at all to be able to feel that way.
I was really into jewelry, and he would reward me with jewelry for doing sexual acts for him. He would say that I need to sell him some so that I can earn the gift. You know, I liked jewelry, and I liked it as a kid, and I think that something that I enjoyed was used against me. So I think that causes discomfort. It's still hard for me to not blame myself.
So that's James talking about how Michael Jackson would buy him jewelry and be like, this is for us. I think after each time they had sex, he would give him some jewelry.
Yeah.
And be like, this is our little secret. And what's really crazy is that he's still, it's not crazy that he still has. I kind of understand that. Do you guys kind of understand why someone would keep that?
Yeah. It's like he's like shaking when he's looking at the box.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Again, I think it's one of those things where you'd say, like, if you casually told someone who thought these guys were lying, he kept the jewelry. Of course he did. It's worth money. Like, yeah, but you can see why it's the level of manipulation and sort of mental penetration that Michael Jackson. These guys are like, that's what's really interesting about it. You see, they can't be like, fuck that guy, I hate him, I want to kill him.
Yeah, that's the grooming thing, right?
Yeah, they're like, they still a bit love him, which is yeah, and that's why I think it's documentary as well, because you sort of talk about as people online who would say, well, they do this 10 years later, the money. I feel like nowadays, because of Twitter and all this shit, everything is so black and white. It's always like, you are a racist that likes Trump, or you think you have to describe every you can't say ladies and gentlemen and blah, blah, blah. Because it's like so extreme either way. And there's no grey areas for anything or for debate. And this shows you that when it comes to this, it's like, especially, it's not just like some creepy old pedo who's just like raped a kid like that. It's like he, and even Michael Jackson himself, you realise he's not. That's what's interesting as well. Like how the kids are about it is a kind of grey area, and how he never had a childhood, and he's kind of like a young boy as well. Like he's not just some psycho monster like beating him up and killing him and stuff. He's just like he's a manipulator, but he's also come from abuse himself, and it's like. Yeah, it just shows you it's such a complex issue.
It's crazy complex. I mean, how do you separate the person that was abused from the abuser, from the artist, from the work they did that everyone loves? Like, it's interesting how the world is actually having to deal with this stuff now. For, like, maybe the first time ever. With, like, Cosby, with R. Kelly, with Michael Jackson. I mean, the other thing is, like, let's throw Woody Allen into this fucking mix, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even that's...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I feel like he's just kind of like, that's like, well, we had already talked about Woody Allen, so it doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I feel like he kind of did the same thing, but with his fucking daughter or stepdaughter, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, people were like...
Reckoning is the right word, I think, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But it's funny as well. People kind of go, oh, yeah, that's kind of being dealt with a bit. And, and then it's just like...
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, today's standards... Yeah, I mean, imagine when he dies, there'll be a documentary about him. And he'll be held really accountable. It seems like when some of these guys are alive, it's like...
They have too much power.
Yeah, even Cosby now, like, I'm sure he won't...
He's got defenders.
Get the... sentence. He's been charged, he's in jail, but how long for, like, as in,
yeah, not sure,
you never know these things. But yeah, you're right, it's interesting. It's that time, it's a time now where, because even that stuff, like, I don't know what it was like for you guys growing up over here, but like I went to an all boys school and there were just creepy teachers and your parents you were just like, I don't hang out with them and stuff. And then subsequently, since I left the school, there's like a few have come out as being like charged with stuff. But when you're a kid, like we were like, oh yeah, that guy's a rock. We just think that guy's wrong.
Yeah.
Just don't go. But you wouldn't be like.
Don't be alone with that dude.
Yeah. You wouldn't be like, well, we should tell the police.
Right.
To investigate him. Like, it's so weird.
Do you guys know Brendan Lynch, the comedian?
Yeah.
From the Bay Area. Because like he and I went to the same high school and he told me some stuff. I saw him a while ago about a teacher who had passed away, we went to an all-boys Catholic school.
Oh, wow.
So you know shit had happened definitely in the 70s. I just get, like, I now get emails about, like, we're really sorry about this thing. I'm like, yeah, you should be.
Oh, wow.
But, like, there was a teacher who was super popular who would have, like, kind of these, like, gray area of, like, he just, like, let kids hang out at his pool. afterward. Yeah. And there was like an all boys school, so the girls from the other schools would also hang out. So something sketchy happened there. And sure. It was like, oh, he was so popular and beloved. And I'm like, yeah, that seems like how they get away with the thing, you know?
Yeah, like there's so many, like, what's interesting about this documentary is there's the mums, like, see the alarm. But there's a teacher in my school who I don't know how far it's gone, but we all like knew, when we were like eight, we were like, this guy is, he was like super Christian, was his thing, but he invited our class, who were eight, to watch the FA Cup final at his house. And I'm like, but Sophie, oh, what a nice guy. Now I'm a grown up. I'm not fucking inviting. Yeah. I wouldn't invite a group of 8 year olds to watch a sporting final with me, because it's like he lives on his own, and your parents would. He met me. He lifted like my mate's. We're on a school holiday. Lifting my mate's shirt up, did it in like a jokey way. But you're like, ah, oh, dude, that's fucking.
Yeah, you knew that was wrong, innit?
You knew that was wrong, but you kind of just all right, and then you. But even as a kid, you think, I'm not going to say anything. You don't tell your parents about that, because I think maybe you're going to make a whole scene about it.
Right.
And there's these mums, like, they were groomed themselves and.
Yeah, totally. That's a lot like Abducted in Plain Sight. I think there was like watching these two things like kind of back to back kind of fed into each other a little bit.
Yeah, the you feel bad for all of the kids who are abusing this, especially, but because their parents. Clearly also don't have a lot of, I don't know, like, I don't know if...
They're just a stage mom kind of vibe going mom, on, like, both of these moms.
The Australian one is the worst of that family with his dad.
Joy Robson, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's either like in Abducted in Plain Sight, they're the little crystal they're being dangled, and that one is like religion. You know, it's like this, it's not money. It's more of like this part of their religion where they're like, this guy is a family guy and he's part of the church. And then in the Michael Jackson case, it's just fucking cash, you know, and a chance at stardom. So, I mean, there's always a care. It's really crazy. It's like, is there a child molester school that these guys, is there a brochure where they learn how to separate kids from their parents? You know, like they have, it's amazing how they all kind of do the same thing.
Yeah, it's I wonder if it's not there's certain ways more complicated than that, but if you ever read like the psychopath test or anything about psychopaths,
the Bronson book,
yeah, it's interesting how a lot of them are on the surface really, but they don't feel empathy, they know how to work people, it's part of that, they almost like see people as a sort of tool they can use to get what they want. And that's what, like, Michael Jackson and the doctor, I forget his name, B.
Berchtold, yeah.
Berchtold. They just have this amazing ability to, I guess, find weaknesses in people, humans, adults and kids. And it's like, it's so fucking weird. And then I'm gullible as well, though. Like, I'm a gullible person. I like always try and see the good in people. So the way they describe it is, I still think there'd be, like, some... I don't know. It's like a street smart from like everyone involved in it. It's like, it's almost like common sense has gone out the window because of the allure of whatever it is. And you can see in the parents in Abducted by Sight, it's like the marriage is a kind of religious boring thing. And so some guy comes in all excited. And the same with Michael Jackson. He's the exciting.
Yeah.
This.
You're in a small town in Australia. I don't know if it's a small town in Australia.
Yeah, but it's still Australia. I've been to Australia before and I like it, but you feel like you're the other side of fucking Earth and you are. And you feel like even just some dude from Hollywood is going to be exciting to you. And then the fact that he can do this, it's just crazy how, the mums come across in all those documentaries terribly.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of blame on that people could throw at the mom. It seems like even in Wade's case, it seems like, I heard something about the mom didn't watch the scenes in the documentary where he really describes stuff. It's like, that's your kid. That's the stuff you probably need to see. That's what we all, if you don't watch that part of the documentary, then you can still kind of keep yourself in the dark about some of the stuff.
That's got to be painful.
The mom, I mean, because she let it happen, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, I mean... Yeah, that's brutal. Like, I mean, she should face the music, as it were, and watch what her son has to say. But I can kind of understand not wanting,
right?
You know, Yeah.
Didn't the sister say, like, oh, she might, like, hurt herself if she sees that? Yeah, she really, when he tells her, yeah.
But Chris, also, I reckon, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I was going to say, but also I was going to say the mum there, I think she probably in her head, obviously that's horrific, she got, but she still must a bit of her brain think, well, Wade then became this super successful choreographer because I brought him here. Mm-hmm. So there's a, she can't separate, like she's more in denial than the other mum, definitely. The other mum is like, I realise he's a monster. I'm so glad he's dead. And you can still see that Joy is just like, her whole, everything about her is just like, I mean, it sounds like heart, but she still wants, she still has that, she's got the red dyed hair and yeah. It's like, it's judgy by me, but I'm like, you don't want to hear that stuff because it sort of undermines again, like your whole
life. Yeah. Like your ex-husband committed suicide. Yeah. This. Yeah.
What a crazy.
Not because of, like, I shouldn't say because of this, but I'm sure his entire support system went away.
Oh my
basically.
God. That's
yeah.
the saddest bit of that whole thing. Yeah. In a way.
It's so sad. But on the bright side, Wade was fucking fly, man. You know, like some of those outfits he had. When he was like a teenager, that was pretty sweet.
He did look cool. Yeah, he did look. He looked like he was like choreographing NSYNC when he was like 16 or 17.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, and then what about the like when Michael Jackson calls him up and be like, "So, like, you're choreographing Britney Spears." Britney. You know, like
that's your impression of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that was my Michael Jackson. Like he wanted to know if they were fucking. Like, are you fucking Britney Spears? You know, it's just like, a jilted
his sexuality
lover.
Is so confusing. I mean, obviously on just the level of pedophilia, but then also the like his obsession with porn, and then also being like, are you having sex? With, like, how hot Britney is?
Right.
Like, and
I think
then,
that's another power thing. Is it all about power, right? That.
Yeah.
You not think he's like. Oh, you're doing that? Okay. He's not in control, essentially. Mm-hmm. And he must be...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he like, must be so used to... Well, think about when he was a kid. Like, so his dad beat him and all that stuff when he was really
Joe Jackson, yeah.
Which essentially... I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I'm sure that is a huge part of what made him how he is. So he was... He probably thought, I don't ever want that to happen. I want to be... I don't want to be on the receiving end of that, so I need to know what... I need to have everyone doing what they can for me. And even that is like, oh, well, you're doing this with someone without me and they're also famous and successful and you might end up being their best. Yeah, he's...
Right. Maybe he was just like checking in to like make sure that he wasn't spill the beans to her or something.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he wanted to have sex with Britney Spears. I don't think that was in his agenda. But who knows? I don't know.
Like, oh, yeah, that was just like a power move to just establish a dominance.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess, I mean, this is the problem is I'm like, and this is why when people go, oh, they're liars. I'm not qualified to say this. I'm just...
Oh, well, we are.
Oh, yeah, we are. Are you qualified?
We've seen so many documentaries.
Documentary.
Basically, this has replaced law enforcement.
Yeah.
If our podcast has replaced law enforcement.
If you have a podcast, you have a license to psychoanalyze anything, I guess.
Okay, great.
Aren't there different libel laws in England, too? Does that make a difference or no? Or is it like slander laws?
Slander, you got to say allegedly.
Okay, people do say that. Okay, we could just say allegedly.
Yeah, no, I think... But we haven't said anything slanderous here, I don't think.
I don't think so. I mean, also, okay, if you're in England, delete this podcast. Sorry.
just don't download it, British people.
Delete it and share it with your friends.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, also, like, Michael Jackson was huge everywhere, but, I mean, like, I think celebrity culture in England's pretty strong in a different, slightly different way than it is here. I mean, just, like, he had a relationship with, like, Princess Diana or something.
Yeah, because it was charity work. I think they had a charity, again, it's always a charity work, man. Mm-hmm. The guys in all the charity work.
Oh, God, yeah, like, preying on a cancer victim kid is also, like... I was just like, what the fuck? Gavin Arvizo, the 2005 accusation trial, he was he met him because of like a Make-A-Wish or something like that. So when I saw that, I'm just like, what? Like, what a piece of shit.
Can I establish something with Michael Jackson that you guys might know that I – because it's never really been answered, but did his skin become white due to a – Was that him intentionally? Does anyone know?
He denied that he even had like work done. I feel like just it's clearly he had work done, right?
That feels like another weird thing. You just sort of like,
yes,
he's either his skin didn't have that happened or he did it himself, and he's not, like you're just like I need to. That's still, I can't get my head around that either.
Yeah, like
there's no definitive answer on it yet. Still, is it still kind of
like
a mystery?
Why he did it or how he did it? Well, or someone said it's vitiligo. Someone said vitiligo.
Is that the skin disease? Right?
That's like a thing that people on the internet say. It's like he had vitiligo is like your pigment goes away and like patches and stuff.
Yes, but
that's
okay.
Not patches. That dude wasn't in patches.
No,
I mean,
I think I remember seeing a couple photos where it seemed like that, but he obviously
the nose definitely
his entire face. He looks like Sandra Bullock. Like it didn't, start, you know. If you look at an early photos of Michael Jackson and then the ones before he dies, I mean, it's like a whole different person.
Well, I think that's like another thing you could kind of throw in here, and this sort of relates to like the stuff that happened with Kevin Spacey. And there's another person who was accused of like, and then like, this is like weird because like Michael Jackson sort of exists in this weird world between like genders in a weird way. He's almost like, you know, a non-binary person, at least in some sense of like how he presents himself. And then also because he's sort of like not in this weird racial spectrum, like he was this cute little black kid and then he just sort of like morphed himself all these weird directions. I feel like some of the stuff about people defending him now almost feels like it's coming from like, well, of course, like they're going to go after a black man, you know, right. Even though like it's like really hard to like, I'm like, well, that really isn't an equivalent thing, but it also maybe is like a thing of like, I'm sure there's a ton of white pedophiles in power that haven't had a documentary done about them. And like, it's not like, let's not go after Michael Jackson. Let's go after everybody, you know,
yeah.
Like that's the difference. So I think that's a weird in some, when I think about people that are defending him, I think maybe that's one aspect of where they're coming from. And also this weird thing of like with the Kevin Spacey thing of like, was it Ian McKellen said, like, if he had been allowed to be out, then maybe his desires wouldn't have gone into this weird direction. I'm like, but no, that's bad. You're conflating gayness with pedophilia. So that's what, so he apologized for saying that. But just in the sense of like him sort of being like, and essentially I think people made fun of Michael Jackson in some ways in a homophobic way, even before the pedophilia stuff, just because like he was like kind of confusing to people. Right. So there's like, I think from the sense of like, I think he was, like, people were homophobic probably towards Michael Jackson, to be sure. And then maybe that conflated in some people's minds with what was happening with the allegations of pedophilia. But just like, I mean, not to say that I have sympathy for him in that regard, just like, I think where we're at as a society is a little different now, you know? So I don't know.
No, but I think you're, the whole issue is like, you know, even I remember like not that many years ago, you'd be like, if someone's a paedophile in the papers, be like, God, well, you get these stupid like tabloids in the UK. It's like the guy's a pedo wrong'un and all. Mm-hmm. But I do think now it's there's a really good really good series actually. It's not a documentary, but it's called The Missing on Amazon Prime. It's an 8-part thing. It's like a French detective trying to solve this missing child. It's British but goes missing in France. But in there is a character who has child porn. Who's one of the suspects, and you follow his arc for the whole thing, and he's trying to get rid of these. He tries to take some drugs to basically get rid of his sex drive and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's really interesting storyline because I feel there is. So with this Michael Jackson thing, he's a horrible guy and stuff, but it is, and that's one thing they could have done a bit more of. But I guess it wasn't really about that. It was trying to. Mm-hmm. It was about the victim's voice, and you don't want to be defending him, but. To go, why are these people like that? Why are they doing this? Rather than just like, the guy's sick or he's weird. The whole thing about Michael, he's just called weirdo. It's like, well, why is he like that?
Okay. So this is a fictional series.
This is a fictional series, okay. But there's just one storyline in it. Uh-huh. It's called The Missing. It's really good. The Missing on Amazon Prime is a BBC thing.
Totally.
But you follow that the guy who doesn't want to have those feelings
and
tries to not act on them.
That movie Little Children also, I think, is about that. Do you know that movie?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who plays. It was Jackie Earle Haley plays a pedophile, and it's like very, very sad. And it's like it's just like clearly he has a compulsion that he, yeah. even if he at some level intellectually knows that it's wrong, he just can't do it. And I don't know. I mean, like, this has come up, I think, in other arguments about, like, there was a guy who, it turned out, who was a bartender at this bar we all did comedy at, who turned out he had, you know, a case, had been a pedophile, and then he kind of got outed as a pedophile, lost his job. And then some people were like, yeah, you know, he was working at a bar. No one under 21 is supposed to come in there. Like, him losing that job is probably a very bad thing that could send him into like a recidivist sort of path.
Yeah.
It's like he theoretically him working at a bar was okay.
Yeah.
He wasn't around kids.
He's trying to.
So, but then no one wanted to go there and people would like boycott the bar because of that. Yeah. So it is like complicated in a sense of like, it is like a mental issue. And it's also like obviously a cycle, and like, it's going to take many generations for the cycle to break down. And obviously LaToya Jackson claimed that Joe Jackson sexually assaulted her, you know?
Right.
So it's that family has so much shit going on. It's really hard to like know what's real. I do feel like, you know, Michael Jackson's kids probably don't need this as a thing in their lives, but they all, I don't know. It's like kind of hard to know who it, when I was thinking about this film, it's like the value of it is just like a victim telling their story. It's not like you can replicate exactly like the conditions of like usually the documentary is like, we're trying to solve a social issue. I'm like, well, like no one's going to be as famous as Michael Jackson ever again. Maybe Trump. You know, like that's the only other person who's ever going to come close. And he has fucking assaulted people for sure.
Right.
The reckoning of this reckoning can happen. I'm like, there's going to be a reckoning for these other people eventually. But I think the fact that he was rich and famous and talented just enabled all the abuse. It's just like if he had been a poor dude, like there's plenty of poor pedophiles.
There's
probably like they're not good manipulators, right? And they just get caught and they go to jail.
You wouldn't let your, you know, if a mechanic who said to your mum, I just like sharing a bed. That's the thing.
Robert Birchtold. I mean, that's the thing about
Abduction
in Plain Sight. He's like I kind of said this on another podcast. I'm like, at least like that was his only talent. Right, pedophilia was the only thing he was really good at, and put a ton of like, you know, Malcolm Gladwell hours into.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a real. Yeah.
I'm not
he
even
was
sure
good at being a creep.
Yes, he was very good at being a creep. I mean, that's. I think that's part of it. Is like the idea surrounding like child molesters and pedophilia people is like they're your creepy next door neighbor. They're the creep that lives across town. They're the soccer coach. Just that's why I think this kind of stuff is so compelling, because this is like rich and famous people, you know, like it's like it's like the thing about Abducted in Plain Sight too. It strikes home. Like it's generally someone, you know, like it's rarely a stranger. It's almost always going to be someone, you know, which is, I think, a very important thing for people to remember. It's not some creep that you're just going to run into at a park. It's generally someone that's close to your family, you know?
Yeah.
Which is why I think Michael Jackson did what he did. I mean, he had to get in. He had to like, he had to make the parents love him and trust him. And that's what he did. It's such a weird long con too. You know, it's just
I wonder how many people got sucked into it.
I reckon there's loads.
It's got to be more. I kind of wonder about Macaulay Culkin, if he's hiding something.
Yeah.
He's sort of living like someone who is as self-destructive as those guys were in their 30s.
I had a little podcast recently. I think with Joe Rogan's one. He was kind of, he has this kind of life of kind of, he's got all his money. He's just got a weird relationship with his parents. Didn't his dad try and take all his money or something?
Yeah, like his parents were his managers, and I think he had to emancipate himself or something.
Yeah.
And him and I think Kieran Culkin would both be sleeping in the bed with Michael Jackson when they're kids. So Macaulay said nothing happened. Kieran has never said anything on the record about what happened.
Well, I hope they're right, as long as they say, but you know, you can't.
Corey Feldman, too, has come out as defending Michael Jackson. It's strange.
Yeah, there's a, but you never know, like, who he might not have done it.
Yeah, he might have, like, they're famous enough, and he's like, I don't want to, like, they have management, and, like, and their parents are around more or something, you know, could have been that.
The sleeping in the bed thing is just.
Do we learn anything from this? It's the thing I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, what did I learn from this other than just, like, I guess listen to believers, believe survivors, I guess, is the main message.
Yeah, or well, at least like listen to their full, you know, listen to them properly rather than just dismiss them off a sentence on the internet.
Because you loved Thriller.
Yeah.
Well, don't let your kid sleep in a bed with a grown man, I think, is an important lesson.
I think we've learned nothing else this year.
It's a lesson that I thought would have been learned many years ago, but it does take... That was the crazy thing. Everyone like, he never had a childhood. He just sleeps. People were saying that, like, normal people in the street were just like, he never did anything to them. It's just like, how do you know?
You know, I'm not going to get too heavy into this. I just was remembering something when I was watching this about, like, some weird shit that happened to me as a kid, not with an adult, but with another kid, where we were not in the same bed, but it was like, I'm like, psychologically, it felt like sort of like this weird thing of, like, where, like, I don't know how much I want to talk about this on this podcast.
You're in a safe place. No, nobody listens to this podcast anyway.
Well, like when you're young and you're kind of prepubescent and then someone shows you something sexual, you're kind of like, I like this, but I don't know why. I don't have the language for it. Yeah. I don't even know what the point of it is yet. Because like before you can even like come or anything, it's like if you get a boner, like you're just like, this is a fun, weird thing.
Boners are funny, yeah.
Yeah. And then like, but like being with the power dynamic's different when someone your age, obviously.
Yeah. It's I remember when I was 15, I went on a holiday and we just started hanging out with girls and, these girls were just wanting to hang out with these guys who were like 18 and they started hanging out with them. And I was like, I can't wait till I'm 18 and then I'll be able to get the 15-year-olds who were... And when I got to 18, I was like, oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
They're like, and I was like, who's this fucking 18-year-old guy just trying to get up with 15-year-olds? They go like, but you think they're cool, that's why the girls are... You know, when you should get to age, you're not, no cool 18-year-old is trying to get up with a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
That's like, you're going 3 years below because you can't... You're obviously some guy who's got no social skills or something, so you have to... But yeah, it's even that's weird. A 3 year age gap feels. Think about how big a thing that is in your like
when you're that
capabilities.
Young. Yeah.
So then you go from even
30 to
oh man,
fucking ugh.
As soon as I got now, I would. You know, and that thing isn't with some guys. 21-year-olds. I'm like 32. Like I don't really. I'm married, obviously, but anyone under 25, I'd be like. You don't watch the same TV shows as me. What are we going to talk about?
That's the key. Make sure you watch the same TV shows.
You guys didn't watch Saved by the Bell. You never know who Zach is. You know, we've got nothing to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know Mario.
You don't know how well-developed Mario Lopez was.
You don't know Elizabeth Berg. Yeah, but also I think like that sort of brings the thing of like these guys realizing – kind of what they went through was abuse later in life after they testified and everything because they both had kids. That's also the thing that was brought up. I think that really, they were like, oh, I didn't really think about what happened to me until I was like, oh, what if someone did that to my kid and I would fucking flip out.
Yeah.
What was, I guess, tinge. I mean, it's one side. And I don't know. You won't know the full story, but what I seem to get the impression of, because both of the mums were talking as well, was the fact that they haven't carried on the cycle of abuse into their families. Well, from their, you know,
right.
I don't know. There's no way of fully knowing, but it didn't seem like that as something that, I mean, the fact they were talking about it so openly, I feel like means that they are dealing with it and it's not going to be, but that's the problem with this stuff, isn't it? It becomes this like, vicious cycle of generation to generation. But
I think that's like what maybe is good about, the good thing about just like having these stories come out, even when it's a very powerful person is like just, maybe, trying to break the cycle, talk about, it's weird. It's like a slightly different discussion than like the general discussion about consent. But I guess it is like, it overlaps with that a lot. So, breaking that cycle obviously Michael Jackson was abused for sure.
Oh.
So we just don't know. I'm like, I don't know how like beating translates into pedophilia. Cause like, that's a question that I have, but, obviously it's like, then you go back to like, oh, it maybe has to do with like the entire breakdown of the family structure that was happened to African-Americans that were brought over as slaves. So like, that's a deeper issue too about like stuff that happened there. So, I mean, there's a lot, to unpack in this thing. You need more than 4 hours to get into that.
There's a lot.
So, yeah.
It was really heavy going.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I watched Abducting Planes Out afterwards and that was... obviously heavy going as well. But yeah. It was only an hour and a half. I was like, okay, I can breeze through this now.
I still feel ambivalent about that because I'm like, there's shit that's so weird in that.
The story from the dad.
But it's fucking
the dad in the car. That comes out after 20 minutes. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Just but childish like, games. That's all.
Just kid stuff.
Just kid stuff. Just a handy, man. It was just a handy. Man.
That is mad, though. But the confidence of a guy to drive another grown man and be like, I don't know, my wife, do you want to wake me off? And then the guy being...
So I can get to you.
So, like, under his... But also, with that guy's story, that he was, like, he was such a good paedophile in terms of, like, he knew that if the guy did that to him, then he'd have that against him to get... Like, it was...
Right.
The ultimate, like,
eight-dimensional chess. Yeah, pedophile, eight-dimensional chess. Yeah.
And then with the alien shit, I was like, what the...
You're going to have to listen to the episode Paco did on that one.
Yeah.
That
was he cheated on his wife, who was cheating on him with B, who is trying to get to their daughter. Like, that story is insane. That is an insane story. It sounds like we're all in a consensus that we felt like this was a compelling doc as far as what the story was and believing James and Wade. But was there something in this doc you thought was missing, something that you thought was going to be in there that wasn't?
I guess we mentioned it would have been good to hear more about the court case. And, yeah, I guess it's difficult because it was about them. But it would have been... Because they gave such a... The difficulties, how would you build in the Michael Jackson, like, causation of his behaviour? Because you'd have to have interviews with his family.
And yeah.
It would muddy it too much. Yeah. So it's about the survivors, so that's what you can't really add. So I think, just a bit more about why they... Just their justification for... A wage justification for trying to sue them, the Jackson Fund money.
I had a thought, which I put on Twitter, which was just like, there's so many drone shots of roofs in this. Every time we don't have footage of anything, I'm like, let's have a drone shot of like Los Angeles or Neverland. Let's show his ranch
just all the time.
And then I had the thought right after that, I'm like, oh, wait, is this supposed to be kind of like... Because when you're in a traumatic situation, you disassociate and you sort of like float above your own body. Yeah. Are they kind of like capturing that in a weird way? I'm like, well, he kind of, it's like a piece of filmmaking that like stuck out to me as like as a film. Like, what a weird choice to do. But then maybe that was the point. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it was to sort of like show the bright, happy of that Michael would have that side of him. But also I wanted to say, what's happened with Neverland now? Like, who lives there? Does anyone live there?
Oh, I just saw a headline that the price of it, they're trying to sell it and the price just plummeted.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, do the Jacksons own it?
I would think that they would. The estate would still have it, so maybe the kids inherit it or something. But now it sounds like they're trying to sell it off. Also, like, I like that this is a film where it like just mentions, like, oh, we hung out with the chimps. No footage of that at all. Chimp hangouts.
Interesting, though.
That could have been the most violent thing that could have happened. Yeah, also,
chimps are terrifying.
Chimp will fucking rip your face off.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was part of the long con. You can sleep with a chimp, or you can sleep with me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Someone told me, actually, the same guy told me about that judge thing. He said he was working in Disneyland years ago in the 80s. Michael came in with bubbles.
Yeah.
And I think this guy's girlfriend at the time or something, he said, worked on the making IDs.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael got an ID made for Bubbles. So she took a photo of Bubbles and gave him a little name tag and put it on his waistcoat and stuff. It's just like, but when you watch the documentary, like, well, that's not the weirdest thing he's done.
No,
like,
yeah.
No.
But that was
chimps are just mentioned. Yeah,
just they were like, we don't have a 4-hour documentary. Yeah. We don't have time for chimps. Yeah. That's a whole other story.
Two interesting things I read was immediately after this doc came out, Michael Jackson's sales dropped like 40% across the board. As an aftermath to this doc. And also on the same day that it was released on HBO, the Michael Jackson estate released a concert film on YouTube.
Oh, right.
That was like exactly the same length as this documentary series.
That's weird.
And kind of to like, but to wait, here's it. Michael. Like,
it's 4 minutes of, he's 4 hours of Michael being awesome to,
yeah,
right.
That eradicates it. That's so weird.
Captain EO versus the truth. Yeah.
It's so cunning. It's so manipulative. It's so like controlling. It's amazing. I mean, it just doesn't stop. I mean, the control with children or control with the public, control with image. It just keeps on going. So what, like, let's we're kind of having to close, coming to a close, but what's the theme of this? Like, what's Dan Reed, the director? What's the theme that he's trying to get across here? You guys think?
I think he's trying to just get the theme of the, like, I don't know, the cloudiness of involving sexual molestation. I think that's what he's trying to show, the nuance of it and how it's not a simple topic. It's really confusing and there's so many layers to it. And that's, I think that's why because you could have made that in an hour and a half, that documentary, but I think it's that long intentionally because it's, you know, when are you ever told to make something longer? When you've ever been making anything, it's always like, can you cut that down? But it's like, no, it's supposed to show the, yeah, that how complex an issue is.
Right. Like, it's like, if you feel like you're their therapist, because, like, I've never heard any detailed kind of stories like that other than, like, I mean, personally, I've never heard anything like that. And imagine unless you're, like, a mental health professional or, like, a medical professional, you're not usually hearing that. Maybe the lawyers hear it. But, yeah. I also saw that he had made a bunch of other documentaries that were more, like, war-oriented, or, like, he made another documentary about, like, a guy who hunts pedophiles in England.
Yeah, that I might have seen, that. Said it.
It's intense. It's, like, this one guy who's, like, kind of his own one-man Chris Hansen, or, like, three-man Chris Hansen. Like, they're just, like, a vigilante team that goes after pedophiles.
Yeah, why this is, again, I think, interesting is it's the next level of this now, because I think even those shows, those pedophiles, again, it's like, you're fucking sick, and they'd catch you, and it was about that for TV. With that, and this is it wasn't obviously defending mine, but it does show you that it's, even the pedophilia themselves, the pedophiles are more complex characters than just these sick bastards. So it's interesting that he kind of did a documentary that showed maybe he's evolved in his thinking with doing this, so... Yeah.
I think the other critiques of this are, like, critiques that would be valid if this was a journalistic piece, but it's clearly not journalism. Like, documentaries don't have to really be journalism. It's sort of like an advocacy piece. So, you know, the fact that no one from the other side represented, I don't think is as big of an issue, because it's like the richest dude, most famous dude's story has been out there for 30 years.
Yeah.
So just having somebody counteract that seems fine. And it seems like it is also riding on this wave of the Me Too movement, I think, as well. So, yeah. Yeah. Heavy fucking shit. Thank you for, like,
What's your next one? Are you going to do a
Flat Earth?
I'm tempted to watch that next. My friend's brother's a flat earther.
Oh, really?
No way.
He's a stand-up. My mate Carl, who I we kind of still do podcasts now and again.
His brother
is a flat earther, and he did stand-up about it. It's kind of... They're really adamant, though. They're really...
Yeah.
Really... I mean, I haven't watched this documentary yet, but I can imagine how... but the same, like, Carl told a funny story. He was like, the internet's make people believe anything now, but he said he was on this island and there was a meteorologist looking at the star through a telescope. They're looking at the moon, and this guy next to Cole, there's a group of them, you got to ask this guy questions at this weird kind of hippie festival, and he was like, well, now that they've proved the moon landing wasn't real, and no, they haven't. What do you mean? He goes, oh, because you can't see the flag or something. And he went, he goes, no, you can. You just need a strong enough telescope. And then the guy was like, oh. But it's amazing how much
you
stuff.
You will love Behind the Curve. Because it's like a lot of that kind of footage.
Great. Gotta cast this doc.
Gotta cast this doc. I got a good one.
I got for Michael Jack. I mean, I know he's not in it, but I thought Johnny Depp nowadays... do you know what I mean?
Perfect.
He's slightly off the rails, and it feels like
also problematic. Yes.
Yeah, he's got the kind of right hair length and stuff. And then for the other guys, I was trying to think who. What was it? Wade Scott.
Yeah, the Australian.
Aussie. Am I going Aussie? Is that the part? Am I going like Liam Hemsworth?
Oh, okay.
Or am I going? I don't know why, like Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I don't know why he's
as a kid. Yeah,
yeah, he's probably too old now.
Yeah,
but no, you could. Yeah, I mean, you when you make the biopic of this, you got to have a kid. So
you got to have a kid.
And you can time travel back and cast JTT.
Yeah, right. That's true. There's a lot of there's a lot of characters in this.
There's a lot.
I feel I don't know who have you cast.
I say for Michael Jackson, Momo. The Momo meme that is going around.
Look, I haven't seen it.
Oh, let me just show me. I'm going to bring it up right now and you're going to know what I'm talking
about. It does look scarily like Michael Jackson, like a waterlogged corpse version of Michael Jackson.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. That's perfect timing. That's been released. What is that?
Tim Burton.
What is it?
Oh man, we don't have time to get into Momo. Okay. That actually should be my pitch a doc is someone explaining all the Momo phenomenon.
My God.
But we'll see.
I'll look it up on the way home.
Yeah. But I think that looks pretty eerily.
That looks like imagine what he would look like now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
In the grave. That's pretty much what he looks like in the grave.
Oh my God.
I think
I had Luke Wilson for James Safechuck.
Oh yeah.
Luke Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, that's good actually.
Not Owen, yeah.
I had Sandra Bullock as Michael Jackson.
Okay. Yeah, you're saying that. Yeah, I can see that.
They look really similar.
She's my wife's favorite actress.
So let's move into pitch a doc. What do you guys have? Like something you would want to be made into a documentary that hasn't?
I've got quite a weird one I might have to do time to explain. But my dad, for his job, deals in a thing called ephemera, which is like old documents and books. And when I was younger, he'd always make me go to these ephemera fairs where they have them every week and these people were obsessed with buying them. And you just get the weirdest fucking guys who are obsessed with this. There's a guy who wears this coat, the same coat every day, never washed, like stunk. There's this one guy who's white. He came in, he had his hair pulled back. Have you seen that James Bond where Sean Connery pretends he's Asian?
He only lived twice. I haven't watched that volcano, a lot.
But he's literally like, his hair's pulled back so his eyes look a bit like Asian. But this white guy comes in, he has chopsticks in his hair. Uh-huh. He's wearing like a kimono. Is it kimono?
Yeah, Japanese. Yeah.
And he just comes in and goes, "You got any Japanese stuff?" And I'm like, there's a little bit. I'm like,
well, you would go to these with
your dad? I'd go to help my dad sell the shit.
Where is this in the UK?
London often, but he goes all over the UK. And you just get a weird, he'd be like, Germany, and he's documents in Japan. I'm like, no. And I want to be like, you know you're not Japanese. It's like, but it's just eccentric dudes.
Yeah.
And it's an older kind of crowd, but they're just some of the weirdest fucking people. And they're obsessed with it. Anyone obsessed with a thing is intriguing to me.
Yeah.
And they just want to buy these like old postcards for like £2 and stuff. And their houses must look disgusting. And it's been like my dad's like has all this stuff. It's disgusting. It's never clean. And it'd be interesting to kind of get into their minds about why they do this stuff.
Like Antique Roadshow.
Like weirder.
Yeah.
So more it's
Antiques Roadshow on acid. It's kind of like a crap review would describe it.
Yeah.
It's really weird that you mentioned that because I wrote down a couple days ago for my pitch a doc about Roald Dahl. That's who I'd like to see a documentary about. And do you know what movie he wrote?
He wrote an adult film?
Yeah. He wrote You Only Live Twice.
Oh, really? That's so funny.
That's weird. Yeah, he wrote that James Bond movie. Is that crazy?
He was an RAF pilot, right? Was that the start of his life?
Yeah. But I think like Roald Dahl just seems like one of the most interesting, like, wasn't he like famously like, didn't he hate children? Like, wasn't he like a
big... I think that's what I mean. I think before he did that, maybe I've got it wrong. I thought he was
We talked about Johnny Depp.
He was a pilot before he became this guy. And but you can kind of see in the way he draws the pictures and stuff. It's kind of creepy. He's probably just like, fuck these kids. I'm just going to make the nose really pointed. Freak him out. Yeah. He'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want someone to really explain the Momo phenomenon to me because it's like kind of like the new Slender Man is all I could figure out. It's basically like supposedly like if you see that image is like from a sculpture it's like a Japanese sculpture that was like it's got the body of a chicken or something, but that for a head. But then now like it's like a made up internet meme thing to freak out parents. Like to think that if their kids see it, that they're really gonna like try to commit suicide or something. Yeah. It's so weird, and it's also like a thing that like I think has been debunked widely. Is like nothing's really. This isn't a real thing. This is like when, you know, a TV station says, watch out for this drug, and it's just like, someone made up a drug.
Right, okay, okay, that okay. It was real.
So, but it's also like, it's such a creepy image, too. But
it's interesting how those things become a thing.
That's Slender Man, like, the kid stabbed another kid because of it. So it could be a thing that spirals out of control. So we're in this living in a very weird funhouse mirror, infinite mirror situation where everything is magnified and distorted into like flat earth believing situations. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's my pitch. We got three weirdo pitches.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah. So Chris, I have a little questionnaire for you so we can get to know you a little bit better at the end of this podcast. Your name is Chris Martin, obviously. What's your profession?
What's my profession? Is that a normal question?
I don't know. We don't usually do that.
Have you got like a different answer? Have you got an answer written from the internet?
It's all up to you, man.
Comedian slash writer slash other shit. I don't know. Anything that's not a real job. That's why I like LA. You can do loads of stuff that's not real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone has soft hands in LA.
Yeah. True.
What's your hometown?
London, England.
Nice.
West London.
West.
West is best.
In a Shoreditch massive.
No, I'm the opposite from Shoreditch, actually. But I like your knowledge of Shoreditch.
Is Wimbledon considered West?
Wimbledon's Southwest.
Southwest.
Yeah. I've had underage drinking there a lot.
I've had a there is a car rental place in Wimbledon that I am banned from.
Oh, wow.
I will explain it after the mic.
I want to hear this doc. I want to watch this doc.
Did you crash your car badly?
No, I like had multiple flip outs in the same Wimbledon rental place. There's witnesses.
Oh, dude, you know what you just said? With. Car rental places would be a documentary because I've never been in one where I've not thought everyone in there was a complete asshole.
Yeah.
Who the fuck works in a
I managed to be the biggest asshole in this rental place impressive. For one day.
To get banned from a car rental place, you have to be such an asshole.
I mean,
even the people there are like, he's a bit of an asshole.
I'm not going to say officially banned, but I'm pretty sure I'm banned. I've had a couple of weird. Well, you know, this will be a separate car rental podcast
okay,
we do.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, Chris, who's the person you're most mistaken for?
Do you guys know Danny Glover over here?
Donald Glover's dad?
Yeah, Donald. Do you know what? With my name thing, it's so funny. I used to never talk about it. And then on Instagram and on Twitter, I just get so many. The funniest thing now, I used to ignore all the comments on Instagram or on Facebook message or whatever. Now I just start responding. Hey, you guys, hey, I love Coldplay. Or they'll be like, hey, how are you? And I'll just get into these dialogue. The amount of times recently, despite having a different face, people have gone like, hey, can you send me a photo? And I just start sending them a photo, like me, like thumbs up, like here. And then they go, oh, thank you so much. And a lot of them are like from like South Asia or East Asia.
They
just think the white guys look the same, man. It's like, it just shows that it's not just white racists saying that about Asian people. It's the other way around as well.
Yep, pretty much.
All right. What is your turn off? What is your pet peeve, I should say?
Arrogance, extreme arrogance. I hate it.
Oh, yeah. That's why.
I feel like you're leading me somewhere with this.
No, this is just like the old 80s magazines.
Oh, okay,
kind of
good. All right.
Just it's like our teen beat, podcast.
Yeah. It's basically like I did this because it's like a documentary about you. We're getting to know you.
Oh, I like it. It's a good idea. Okay.
So
I'm
what do you
so
never...
like paranoid though. I'm like, are you going to stitch me up? When are you going
to
call me an arse?
We're gonna edit this together to make it sound like you're real into like Nazi memorabilia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How did you know? That's why I like the ephemera fairs. I would go and ask where the Nazi stuff is.
I want Japanese stuff, but only from certain years in the 40s.
What do you never travel without?
My mouth guard that I have to wear in bed when I sleep the night in hotels because I grind my teeth.
I'm a grinder too.
I'm a grinder, man. It's most expensive.
We're both on grinders.
Most expensive thing I own, my mouth guard. So expensive.
Those are expensive?
Dude, they're like several hundred.
Oh, wow.
And you just tear through them as well.
I got a guy. I got it down.
I got a guy.
Cheapest one I got under $200.
Really? Yeah. I need to know who your guy is.
Yeah, Glendale.
Who your guard dealer?
Dr. Chen. That's my
guy. Is he actually
called? He's also Dr. Chen. Great. I thought I'd get preferential treatment.
Is that a name? That's a name discount.
Yeah.
Who's your celebrity crush?
Gal Gadot.
Oh,
My mate actually got me a Wonder Woman t-shirt when I don't even like Marvel stuff that much, but when I watched Wonder Woman on a plane, I was just like,
well, it's good because she's not Marvel.
Whatever, DC, whatever, there you go. See, whatever, that's not my wheelhouse.
Comics, and lastly, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Oh, good question. You went 10 rather than 5.
Yeah,
fuck the 5. Fuck the
2029.
10 years. I see myself watching a documentary about someone I think I really like now who's going to get a
whole Yep.
That's perfect. Chris.
Who died this year? It's going to be someone like that.
Yeah.
Why don't you plug some stuff you have coming up, your social media?
I'm working on a couple of podcasts ideas. They're on hold. Although you can listen to one called Babysitting Trevor, which is one me, like a series me and another my friend Carl Donnelly did about this Australian. He'd be a great person to do a documentary about Australian comedian called Trevor Crook. He's like, he never tells us his actual age, but he's around late 50s, early 60s. Mm-hmm. And he's just got the craziest fucking stories. His friend's been beaten up by a kangaroo. He's like all the weirdest shit we've done. We were voted the second funniest podcast in the UK by the British Comedy Podcast Awards. But he's amazing. And so I think we've got 4 seasons out at the moment. Season 5 is going to come out in a couple of months. It's called Babysitting Trevor on iTunes and all the other places. And then I'm at Chris M Comedy on social because of the guy of Coldplay and Danny Glover.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, man.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and thank you for taking the bullet on this documentary because this was a tough one and this was awesome.
It's good. Yeah, I think we dealt with it in the right way.
Yeah,
been hard to be jokey jokes all the way through.
Yeah, I know.
We finished light, which was good.
Yeah,
bit of light relief at the end.
Yeah, Momo Jackson.
Yeah, Momo Jackson.
Isn't that one of his lyrics? Shemana Momo, Shemana Momo.
I think it is. All right,
thank
you.
We got there without me almost doing an impression of Michael Jackson. All right, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show was engineered by Will Scoville.
If you want us to cover a doc, have suggestions for guests, or you just want to reach out, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.